Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST on any order at manscaped.com. That's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
He lives in Minnesota where he's probably got 9 feet of snow right now. Is he plowing up the driveway to go get a McFlurry?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I just opened up Matt Verderam's Twitter account at Matt Verderam to see that apparently he is moments away from a 9-day vacation. Matt, I apologize to delay it by an extra 30 minutes or so, but congratulations. What's it going to feel like to take a break?
Good. The second I get off this interview, I'm going to a brewery with my wife. So it's going to go real good. It's going to go even better by about 10:30 tonight.
Well, I'm rooting for your stretch of time here of just being able to soak it in, where every day is going to be Daniel Craig introducing the weekend. This is weirdly also now the second time over the course of two short hours that we have talked about Daniel Craig in some form or another. Did you see Knives Out?
No, I am terrible about seeing movies. I have not seen it.
All right, that's fine.
Same.
Have you seen Ted Lasso?
Nope.
Okay. Ted Lasso is worth it. It's also the case for Rudy and Beards. Ted Lasso, the hype has been, it's been super overhyped, and I was a little bit prepared for a small letdown. Really good. Just feels good to watch. It's a good time. It's funny. It's all wonderful. But I won't bully you about movies you haven't seen if you don't bully me about movies I haven't seen, which is also a tremendously long list that oftentimes gets me in severe trouble.
Yeah, I just always have found, like, I don't watch a lot of television, and bizarre, like, you know, my wife will always say to me, well, have you seen such and such of our famous movie names? No. And she said, why not? Why haven't you seen that? I said, how long? It's 2.5 hours. Well, that's why I haven't seen it.
Right.
Because I'm not going to commit that kind of time. But then I think about it, I'm like, you're an idiot. You'll sit down and watch a Knicks game for 2.5 hours and immediately turn on an A's baseball game for 3 hours. Right? So there's really no excuse. But movies don't hold my attention the same way a sports game does.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, because you're right. I'll sit down and end up, I guess maybe it's because some sporting events can happen in the background a little bit, but like, I will watch, and let's say the Chiefs are on bye or they play on Monday night or whatever, I will watch an entire day of Red Zone plus Sunday Night Football, and that day just disappears. And also, like, it's not really a cultural touchstone of a movie event or whatever. I'll do that without hesitation. But if I have to sit down and watch a 2-hour-long movie, I might as well just end my day there. I might as well go to bed immediately after.
Yeah, I can. I just, you know, I have no attention span with it. I'm terrible. I always find myself, like, surfing on my phone or doing something on the computer. You know, the only time I really ever sit down and watch movies is if it's comedy. Like, if Tommy Boy's on, I'm in for 36 straight hours. Right? If it's Tommy Boy, if it's Uncle Buck, it's Wedding Crashers, if it's American Pie, like, all those movies from my youth, I'm in. Or if it has to do with anything like mob related. Maybe it's the Italian in me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I could sit down, like Godfather, all that stuff. I have The Departed. I'll sit there and watch it. But if somebody comes up to me and says, hey, you want to watch, Gone with the Wind? Nope. Not a chance. Would rather throw myself off a roof. So, like, I really do not see many movies. This is not my cup of tea.
Don't worry about Knives Out. The good thing with Ted Lasso also is if you want to break off a little 30-minute chunk of it, you can bail in any 30-minute interval, or maybe you find yourself watching it all in two sittings, which I ended up doing. And if you don't, I'm not going to, like, if you watch it, tell me. I'm not going to ask again. I'm not going to check up on it. I'm not your mom. I'm not going to see if you did your homework. I'm not that worried about it. But for some reason, we were talking about Knives Out. And also, I think Gone with the Wind came up in a liner earlier. So that's, this show really at this point is just sort of four recurring bits and different voices. Just the same show over and over again.
Sure, you guys are bringing in the ratings with Gone with the Wind and Knives Out. Sure, all Kansas City is just hanging on every word of that commentary.
Listen, we know where our bread is buttered, and it's in movies that range from 2 years old to approximately 200 years old, and that's our sweet spot. I want to talk to you about, obviously, the NFL schedule, some NFL stories all together, and your massive prediction of every single game ahead of the NFL season after the schedule came out. But the one thing that I've been wanting to talk about a little more this week, and I saw your tweet about it about an hour ago, I thought was really worthwhile, is the entire story that has already been and will continue to be around Juwan James. He's the Broncos tackle who tore his Achilles working off-site, I think out of state, working independently, and the Broncos released him a couple hours ago. That will most likely end up costing him, I think it's something like $20 million total. I think it's $10 million the next 2 years. The story as a whole, I think, is really interesting. We'll probably have a bunch of repercussions, but I also thought your angle on it was interesting. Can you kind of set up what you know about that story, what you expect, and kind of how you're thinking about it right now?
Yeah. So, look, essentially, James got hurt. For anyone who doesn't know, he got hurt working away from the facility. Okay, he was working out, getting ready for the season, wasn't doing anything crazy, tore his Achilles. The standard language in an NFL player's contract that says if you're working out away from the facility, you get hurt. Essentially, the team is not liable for that kind of injury. So they don't have to pay out guaranteed money. There's no injury guarantee for that. And that's what happened with James. Now, the Broncos could have said, hey, you know what? We know you were working out for the team. It wasn't like you were out skydiving. Mm-hmm. We're going to pay you. They didn't say that. Now, part of that is probably because he opted out last year, the year before that, the first year before your contract, he signed with them, he was hurt. That contract's been a disaster for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably looked at this, quite frankly, as a get-out-of-jail-free card, mm-hmm. and just said, hey, let's move on, let's be done with this, and we can free up some cap space. The union, players' union, is going to be furious because they're going to say, hey, look, he was working out. You can't punish the guy for that, which is wrong. They absolutely can. Mm-hmm. But my tweet and my argument was, look, I get it if you're a player that doesn't like that. I know when he got hurt, Patrick Mahomes tweeted about it.
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to cut this man for this. Look, you negotiated a collective bargaining agreement last year. I was in Indianapolis at the scouting combine when all that was going down. And they all ended up voting, very narrowly, by the way, to approve it. It's just a popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of players didn't even bother to vote.
Mm-hmm.
They could have baked into this new CBA that, hey, you know what? We don't want to do OTAs anymore that are voluntary. We want to change standard language in the contract. They didn't bother to do any of that, and then came out, a lot of teams this year, have said, including Denver, by the way, have said, hey, we're not, as a team, we're not showing up to OTAs that are voluntary. We don't believe it's worth our time, which, hey, fine. But I got to tell you, the owners, the players, I had a former player reach out to me actually about an hour ago about this. Nobody cares. The owners do not care if these guys don't show up. In fact, they're probably thrilled because they're recouping all their workout bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, which, by the way, is why the Chiefs will show up because
right.
the Chiefs, the Packers, the teams, they have more workout bonuses than anybody in the league. So they'll be there, I'm sure. But, you know, if the players, if they want to be mad at anybody, they should be mad at DeMar Smith, they should be mad at the union, and they should be mad at themselves. They could have worked this all out a year ago, and they didn't. And now, unfortunately, Juwan James is the guy who's paying the price for it.
So all of the just sort of the facts of where everything is make sense to me. So I'm kind of just like taking all that, put it in a box. That's how it actually is, and that's how we got to that point. Got all that right. Locked in. How does that happen, though? How is this one of the... Listen, 17th game, that's something that the teams wanted, players didn't really... They don't test for weed as often, they play the 17th. Whatever. That, stuff like that, I understand some things that get very much bargained out. But how at any point could anyone in the Players Association, how could DeMaurice Smith, how could anybody working on behalf of the players ever get to a point where they say, hey, if they're lifting weights, if they're doing footwork stuff off-site and a knee goes the wrong way when they plant, or a pec tears on a bench press, and now all of a sudden that is a non-football injury that they are no longer obligated to get their guaranteed money there. How does that get through the system from anyone on the player side of things? Because that seems completely insane to me as a core tenet of what the offseason is for NFL athletes,
right,
who are operating at this insanely high level that need to be in shape. They can't, this isn't 1940s football anymore. They can't get in shape over the course of training camp anymore.
By the way, first of all, I'll answer all that, but there's an HBO, I guess you call it a documentary. Mm-hmm. It's about an hour long. It came out like 20 years ago, but it's on YouTube. It's fantastic. It's called The Game of Their Lives, and it's about like football play in the NFL in the 50s, essentially. Hmm. And there's this one part, it really, genuinely, if you love football, you should watch it. It's awesome. And there is this one part where they're showing, like, I think, a player in the Eagles, and they're like, this is how so-and-so works out to get ready for the season. And it's literally this guy jogging in a circle that is no bigger than maybe 10 feet around. Like, the guy is just, and they're like, that's all he needs is that and light calisthenics.
Right.
And I always just crack him up because every time I see it, I'm like, yeah, man, that guy, you transported him 65 years later. Times have really changed for him, right? I mean, he couldn't make less bench.
No.
But anyway, the point is,
that's funny.
Listen, I agree with you. Get back to the point. I agree with you that you look at this and say, how did the NFLPA not negotiate this over the last how many decades? Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it is they worry about other stuff. And I'm not saying they're right or they're wrong, but they worry about, hey, you know, we should be, you know, avoiding testing for marijuana. You know, a lot of it, of course, every time you get into a CPA negotiation with the NFL and the Players Association, it's always about how much dollars and cents are going into the players' pocket, what percentage of the cap, all that stuff. So there's a lot of negotiations, and that stuff goes by the board. The shame of it is honestly, if the players went to the owners and just said, look, we will come in June for one mandatory 3 or 4 day minicamp, and we're getting rid of all this voluntary OTA crap, they would do it in 2 seconds. The owners don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They're not making any money off of that. They don't care. A lot of that stuff is outdated. It was basically put in to make sure guys were in shape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically why. That's why for years and years and years, when we were all kids, they had two-a-days.
Yeah.
Because guys would come in having smoked lung darts for 6 months.
Right, right.
And ate at Arby's.
Right.
And they had to lose 30 pounds. I mean, and it's the truth. I mean, God, you know, now it's so different. I mean, guys, there's no off season now in the NFL. These guys finish the season 2 weeks at most. They get a break. And they're down in Miami. They're down in Texas. And they're at, you know, EXO. So they're at another big-time workout facility with their personal trainer and their chef and their nutrition. I mean, these guys... Can you imagine nowadays if Mahomes showed up 25 pounds overweight in camp?
It'd be insane.
I mean, they'd be following him around with a camera for a month and a half, right?
Yes.
That would never happen, ever, in a million years. So I think sometimes some of this stuff just gets lost in the shuffle. I'll also say this. For the NFLPA, of all the four major sports in America, their union is probably the weakest from the standpoint of, you know, you think about hockey 15 years ago, actually, there was a lockout. There was a lockout for a whole year to make sure they got a salary cap in.
Mm.
Okay, the owner broke the players. And by the way, hockey's a close second in terms of bad unions. Baseball's got the greatest union on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, I'm still trying to figure out a way how to be part of the players' union in baseball. I mean, they rake the owners over the coals every single year that they negotiate. And the basketball is regular as well. The problem with football is guys aren't willing to strike or sit out for any period of time because the average careers 3.5 years.
Yeah,
these guys aren't going to shit. Like, people always think about the big time star player. It's not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 80% of the league who's like, look, man, I might not get a second contract. I'm not missing a quarter of my NFL career because you want to get some better pension down the road. I mean, I get a pension. So that's where it comes into play for the NFL. It's just so, so hard for these players. But this was something they absolutely could negotiate, and it.
I'm putting this in the same box as the first one. Everything you said, I get it, and it's true and valid. It also just is so sloppy, I think, is the word that is sticking out to me. Like, whenever you say, oh, you know what, we just didn't get to that yet. That's something you say if you're a small organization or an organization who can't delegate worth a damn or
right,
isn't reading the fine print. Say that again?
Yes, right, if you're the local 258.
Right, right. If you're the NFL Player Association,
yeah, should have thought about it.
Somebody along the line should have reread that contract and said, hey, wait a second. So if he's working out in Texas, but he plays in Kansas City, if he tears his ACL, he doesn't have to, you know, they don't have to pay him? How did we let that get in there? Right. But they didn't. So it's one of those stories that I think with everything you just said there, maybe the frustration at least deserves to be passed around plenty because there's a lot of room for that to go around. But I want to talk to you about the insane thing that you do every year and the insane thing that you did this year with extra games, actually, now, where you picked every single game on the 2021 NFL schedule. You went through, selected them all, you go all the way through the playoffs. I'll make you tell us all where the Chiefs end up, but you can go read this right now up at FanSided. You can go through Verderam's Twitter account, at Matt Verderam, scroll down a little bit. You can click on it there and go week by week. It's insane. How did you feel about just like the general process this year as sort of your first step into predicting how the NFL season would pan out?
Well, I'll say this. First of all, I think at this point, Goodell just, he knows I do this.
Yeah.
And it's turned into some kind of a cruel joke when he was like, you know what? The hell with Verderam. 17 weeks. So, listen, it's something that is the fourth time I've done it. I enjoy it. It's a labor of love. It's nowhere, like the traffic that it gets in return, I'm sure by our metrics, is nowhere near worth it, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's just
right.
Something I do. It gets a good reaction. People enjoy it. And, you know, I think, look, for me, once the end of the season comes, you know, everybody already knows what all the games are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of when, mm-hmm. really. So I don't do anything other than maybe just the bones of the post until the crux of free agency is over.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go and I'll pick all the games and then write out all the playoff portions of it because obviously at that point I know the standings and how it's all going to shake. And then once the draft's over, if there's some team that I really think made a big impact, then I'll go back and I'll adjust it a little, which I did. I did for a few teams, the Bears being one of them off the top of my head that I can think of, and Chargers another one. So, you know, you go back, you make some adjustments, you drive your graphics guy crazy because he's got to do it again. And then once the day of the schedule comes, that's really D-Day for me. But the great part of it is people now, it's become like a cottage industry to leak the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sit there, and as long as I know that person's reputable, I'm just banging them out. I'm DMing people, texting people. Hey, I'm not going to break it, but what's your schedule?
Yeah.
Give me your schedule. Sometimes that works. Sometimes somebody tells me to go to hell. That's fine. But you just keep trucking. This year, I got it live about an hour after the official release, which is good. Last year, it was like 3 hours. So making progress. But it is fun. But, yeah, 285 games, pick them. If you like my work, if you like me on the radio station, please go to my Twitter page. It is pinned on there. Give it a read. Let me know what you think. If you're a Chiefs fan, I think you'll probably end up liking it.
Well, yeah, it is your pin. Yeah, it's a pinned tweet. Go click it there. Go to Matt Verderam on Twitter, and you can click that. I'm gonna dig in on the Chiefs stuff here in a second, but there are a couple of things that really jumped out to me from sort of like your final standings, and I want to just get your thoughts on your thought processes on a couple of these teams. The Baltimore Ravens. All of these numbers are kind of weird. If it was 11-6 as opposed to 10-7, maybe I wouldn't be saying anything about it. But seeing them with seven losses was a little bit of a surprise to me, which puts them second, one game behind the Browns in the AFC North.
Right.
What led in it to the thought process on those two teams?
Really hard schedule for the Ravens. If you go and you look, and I don't have it all right in front of me, but if you go and you look, you know, their schedule the last seven games of the year is brutal. They have Cleveland twice. They have Pittsburgh twice. They have the Rams in there. They have the Packers in there. They obviously early in the year they get Kansas City week two. They play a very, very tough slate. They have Minnesota in there at some point in the midway portion of the year, I believe. They have the Colts week 5. there's a lot of games you look at and go, man, that's a tough spot. That's not going to be easy for them. I think the division's pretty good. I do think Pittsburgh's going to take a step back. I pick Pittsburgh to go 8-9. Mm-hmm. But I like Cleveland. I think the Bengals are better. Not like playoff better, but mm-hmm. better. And then just a lot of the NFC games are tough. You're getting the Rams, the Vikings, and the Packers. I would argue Baltimore is the toughest home schedule in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it's not really a function that I think they're terrible, but I also do think, look, they lose Orlando Brown. They lost both their edge rushers. And I will say this about the Ravens. Some of those guys defensively are getting a little bit long in the tooth.
Hmm.
I mean, Calais Campbell's not getting any younger. Derek Wolfe is not getting any younger. Like, you're starting to look at a team that, you know, they beat up on bad teams because when they blitz teams the way they like to under Wink Martindale, they overwhelm you. But when they play good teams, that blitz stuff can backfire. Obviously, we've seen that against the Chiefs a few times. So, yeah, I think they're good. I think they're a playoff team. But I don't think they're going to go 13-4 or 14-3 or anything like that.
It also ends up meaning some good math for the Chiefs, obviously, with the one bye week in the AFC. We'll circle back to that in a second. I don't need anything extra from the NFC East other than to just note that it's terrible again. I was very surprised. I don't know if I even should be surprised. I was jarred to see what you had going on in the NFC West. You've got four teams over 500, and you had, I guess I will say, a surprise for me at the very top, the new look Los Angeles Rams with Matt Stafford. So you're buying into the Stafford and company experiment there?
It's the biggest shot I took with the schedule, or with my predictions of the schedule, because I could see that going as well as I predicted it.
Mm-hmm.
I could also see him getting hurt and then winning six games.
Yeah.
But my basis for it is, look, McVay is a really, really smart offensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
Stafford is a much better quarterback than Goff. If that offensive line holds up, which is my main concern with them, they're going to score points. He's going to create ways. They've got a good running game. They've got Woods. They've got Kupp. Like, they're going to figure out a way to score. And defensively, well, they lost a few pieces. They lost the coordinator. I still think they're going to be a top 10 defense. So I like them. I just wonder, you know, the Niners, I love the roster, but with the quarterback, like, I can't get past that for them to win the division. I don't know who the quarterback is. Garoppolo's always hurt. You know, the Cardinals I like, but Kingsbury scares the heck out of me.
Mm.
I think they're good, not great. And then Seattle really was the team that I went back and forth on. Are they better than the Rams? Are they not? I think that's back and forth. I just think the Rams benefit from the fact Seattle's got to play a first-place schedule, and they don't.
Yeah.
So, I think that's by far the best division in football.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, definitely the way that you picked it out, it has to be, because to have a fourth, I mean, again, this is different this year, but to have a fourth-place team with 9 wins looks insane. Even in normal year, having a fourth-place team going 8-8 would be crazy. Is there anybody else from the non-AFC West section of all the predictions and everything that maybe you surprised yourself a little bit by the time you got to the end of their schedule, either positively or negatively?
You know, a few teams, I think off the top of my head, you know, I was surprised at the Dolphins going 10-7 in the AFC East. I'm not a big believer in Tua,
mm-hmm.
but I'm a big believer in that roster and Flores, and I am a complete non-believer in New England, who mm-hmm. I know I have going 9-8, but that's basically because Belichick's there.
Right.
And they will just figure out how to win 8 or 9 games. I've never seen a team do more in an offseason, and I looked at it, and I feel the exact same way about them that I did going into the offseason. I feel like they just did a whole bunch of stuff, and you look at it, and you're like, yeah, but what did they really add to the team? So, look, Miami had 10 wins, I thought was a little higher than I would have thought going into it. And then on the downside, on the backside, I don't know that there's anybody that I really looked at and said, wow, you know, I thought – they got shafted. I think probably Baltimore, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, going into it, I maybe would have thought 11 or 12. But just the way the schedule shook out, I just kind of – because I pick them blindly. I don't go down their list of games and go, okay, 1-0, 1-1. Because I think you kind of end up where you think you want to end up.
Yeah.
I just put them randomly into the computer, and I just pick them. And then I figure out their record is afterwards.
I'm a little bit – I'm always just surprised when Minnesota actually wins football games. I know there's actually a good roster behind their incredibly frustrating quarterback, and the East is interesting. It's just the whole exercise is great. It's very fun. We're obviously not going to go list all of the records, so go check it out up on FanSided. But I do want to talk about the AFC West and what happens after that. You got the Chiefs going 15-2 over the course of the 17-game schedule, with the Chargers being a pretty distant second place, followed up by the Broncos and Raiders. Have you gotten any hate mail from Raiders fans? And also, maybe more importantly and more seriously, how much is it okay to believe in the Broncos being good outside of the quarterback position? How much does Bridgewater matter? And then also, where are you on the Chargers right now? Because around here, we like making fun of the fact that they win every offseason, but I also think that they're a pretty good football team right now.
So I'll start from the bottom and work my way up. I've not gotten any hate mail from Raider fans. I just kind of picture when they read it, reading it, nodding silently, and just slowly shutting the computer. They're just not good.
Yeah.
They're terrible defensively. Carr is fine, but there's no upside there. Like, their line is terrible. Look, we've all seen this with Carr. If they can block for him, he'll be productive.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can't, he's going to be terrible. That's just the way it is. He's going to throw a million bad passes if he's under pressure. And that's why the Chiefs couldn't knock him down last year.
Yeah.
The Chiefs struggled with them so much last year because they couldn't touch Carr.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand with them. Denver, I will say this. I just wrote this from my Stack in the Box column going up on Monday. I think that if Denver had a real quarterback, that team would be a Super Bowl contender.
Hmm.
Like, not that they would be the favorite,
mm-hmm.
but they would be like, okay, they could win a playoff game and like maybe get rolling. Now, if they had Rodgers, they'd be a real contender. But, you know, you look at them, they have weapons. They have a defense that can put – the problem is Drew Lock led the league in interceptions last year, and the man played 13 games.
Yeah.
Like, I think Bridgewater's going to win that job. I don't care what they say. I think Bridgewater's going to win it. But, again, look, I like Teddy Bridgewater, but he's a guy. But nobody's going into a game going, geez, I don't know how we're going to stop Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
Right? Like, it's just – he's okay. He's fine, but he doesn't make them a playoff team. Now, the Chargers – I share in your laughter about how they win every offseason. And I also am in total fear that half their guys are going to be hurt by Labor Day, because that's just what happens to them every year.
Right.
But Herbert is a game changer because he's a very good quarterback. And I love their draft with Slater and Samuel in the first two rounds. I do not buy into this. I've seen a couple articles now about how they could be a Super Bowl team. They're not going to be a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That offensive line still needs work, and it still needs to gel. Other than Allen, they don't have any top-tier weapon. Mike Williams is fine, but he's not like, oh, my God, Mike Williams is on the team. And defensively, they lost Perriman. They lost Ingram, who they could re-sign technically as a free agent. Mm-hmm. They lost Hayward. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And they got a 37-year-old first-time head coach who's been in the league for 4 years. Like, I don't know that Brandon Staley is going to be a good head coach. He might be. He might be ridiculously overmatched. I have no idea. So I like them as a wild card team. I think they're interesting. But that's as far as I can take it. The Chiefs had the best record in the whole thing for me. And it's not a homer deal. It's just, look, they're not going to be an underdog one time this season if they're healthy.
Yep.
Not once. They play nobody. We just went over the division. And I picked them, spoiler alert, I picked them to lose one game to the Chargers at Thursday night game. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They are going to play the NFC East, where they are going to be a massive favorite in every game they play.
Yep.
They're going to be massive favorites over the Raiders and Broncos. The Bills and the Packers, I think, are the two toughest games. They're both at home.
Mm-hmm.
They play the Ravens, who, listen, I respect both of them. The Chiefs beat them every time.
Yep.
And not only beat them, the breaks off them every time they see them. So you kind of just look at it. Like, I've heard so many people say, well, geez, they have a really tough schedule early in the year. Yeah, all right, you get Cleveland, but they're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're at home for Buffalo. They're at home for the Chargers. They're at Philly, who they're going to beat by 30 points. I look at it and say, yeah. Like, if you as a Chiefs fan look at that and say, yeah, it's a tough game, it may be. But I got to tell you, if you're Cleveland, you're thinking it's a hell of a lot tougher.
Yeah.
They're like, you got to be kidding me. We got to go there again, like, for week one. So I think it sets up well for the Chiefs. They have no three-game road trips. They only have two-game road trips, and one of them is Cincinnati and Denver at the end of the year. So I think for the Chiefs, you're going to be looking at that schedule and thinking, do some pretty serious damage.
Yeah. You have them in the, obviously getting the first round bye there, which is huge, over the Colts. I wanted to mention that because I didn't bring them up yet, and the fact that you're kind of buying into the Carson Wentz Colts, I think is pretty interesting.
Let me push back on that a little bit. I'm not buying into the Carson Wentz Colts. I'm buying into everything that is the Colts and not Carson Wentz.
Fair enough.
I will tell you, that is actually the hardest thing I had to do with the schedule, other than maybe the Rams, who I could not figure out how I wanted to go with them. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to assume Stafford's healthy, just like I'm assuming most other guys are healthy. The AFC South is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, I will go on record with this right now, and if I'm wrong, people can flame me till the end of time. Urban Meyer is going to be a disaster with that team.
I agree.
A just complete, like, there's going to be documentaries about what a disaster that thing is going to be.
I'm so, yes.
By the time it's all done.
Yep.
Houston somehow is a bigger disaster than Jackson.
Yes. Yep.
Right? So you have four games against those teams.
That's like, a good point.
If you're Indianapolis, if you're even remotely capable, you're 4-0.
Yeah.
And then you've got Tennessee, who kind of just there, like not a bad team, but like, eh. Like, okay, so it was basically picked between these two teams. I picked Indianapolis, not because I actually think Carson was the worst quarterback in the league last year other than Drew Locke. However, getting back to his old roots with Wright, I don't think he's going to be a top-10 quarterback again. But I think he could be like Baker Mayfield for them.
Yeah.
And if he's that, with the rest of that team and the coaching staff, I think they're good enough to make the playoffs to win that division. And I had them winning the game because Baltimore, I believe in my simulation, plays them. And
yeah,
Baltimore is just terrible in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I went with the home team and the coin flip of a game. And yeah, it ended up playing Kansas City in my simulation, the divisional round.
All right, so clearly also you have Aaron Rodgers still being in Green Bay over the course of this season. Tell us a little bit about your Super Bowl, and then we'll let you get onto that 9-day vacation.
Okay, so my wife just looked at me like, are we going? I'll be there in a second.
Tell your wife at your leisure that I promise not to even text you next Friday. Next Friday we will not talk to you. You will not hear from me.
Good. I've got Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. I think it's a lot more of a safe bet, of a better bet. I think it's a lot safer. The Kansas City's there than the Green Bay. It's not even because of the Rodgers stuff. Just, the NFC, to me, it's more top-heavy. The AFC is deeper. But the NFC, you can make a case for the Rams. You can make a case for the Niners if you want to. But you can make a case for Seattle, for Green Bay, for Tampa Bay. You cannot make a case for the NFC East. But you can make a lot of different cases. I don't know that you can look at the AFC, and other than the Chiefs having injuries, good luck making a case.
Mm-hmm.
Who's better than them? I mean, now maybe there will be injuries. Maybe the Chiefs just play an awful game in January. I mean, that's possible.
Sure.
But I think there's a bigger gap between the Chiefs and the rest of the AFC this year than there was last year. So the Chiefs through the Super Bowl for me is the easiest thing going. And then I have playing the Packers. Obviously, I believe Rodgers will be there. If he's not, I would not have put the Packers in the Super Bowl. And I picked the Chiefs to win. I actually picked them to lose the regular season game against them and then to win the game in February when it counts most. When I look at the Chiefs, I think the biggest issue they've had the last couple of years is they at times have been run over internally, you know, in the interior.
Mm-hmm.
They've been pushed back on the offensive line in the interior, and defensively you could move them at times. That is not going to happen this year. Not with Tooney and all the other guys they brought in, and they're coming back from the opt-out list. They bring in Jerron Reed. Like, it was very clear that Brett Veach saw that the same way, I guess, that I did. And was like, we have to address the trenches. They did it. I think they're the best team in football. I really do. And if it helps Chiefs fans sleep at night, I've done this three times. Four of the six Super Bowl teams have gotten them right. And both times I picked the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl, they went. So, and the one time I got it right altogether, they won. So we'll see how it shakes.
I think at this point we should have given a spoiler alert here, much like we did when we were talking about Knives Out earlier. A full spoiler alert for the NFL season. Matt, thank you for making the time. Tell your wife I'm sorry, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Enjoy your vacation, ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Absolutely.
See you, Matt. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam. Go check out his simulation. That's the fastest he's ever hung up, by the way.
Yep.
I had hit the button to put him on hold, and he was out of here because he probably told his wife it was going to be like 25 or 30 minutes, and it was like 35 minutes, which he probably knew was going to be the case because he's talking to us. And I talk a lot. He talks a lot. I got a lot of questions. I like Verderam. He keeps coming on the show. Ends up being, you know, half an hour and change, and this is where we end up. We'll take a break. Whenever we come back, I want to talk about one of my biggest takeaways from Verderam's predictions that we didn't fully get into just there, but certainly supports his last statement, which is the Chiefs are the best team in football, and I think it might be by a pretty healthy margin.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That was a pretty awesome radio tease that I did last segment, and I'll tell you more about it here in just a second. But first, I need to tell you about something that's going on May 15th. Friends in Service of Heroes, also FISH, will be hosting the only Armed Forces Day in Kansas City. And according to the Army, there's the only one in a 16-state area. It'll be held at New Century Airfield on May 15th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's free to the public. And there will be an A-10 Thunderbolt, a Black Hawk helicopter, a Chinook helicopter, modern and antique military vehicles. The Army National Guard 35th will be sending their pop band. The Army Special Forces Black Dagger skydiving team will be jumping out of a helicopter. There'll be activities for kids and food trucks. They're also Friends in Service of Heroes, again, FISH, will also be presenting a service dog to a soldier that walked from California to Arlington to raise awareness for veteran suicide, and a disabled Marine will be surprised with a tracked wheelchair. So a bunch of cool stuff out there. John Holt from Fox 4 is going to be the MC out there. So if you want to go check that out, they're expecting a pretty good turnout and hoping to kind of set up a template for the rest of the country there. So that's Friends in Service of Heroes at New Century Airfield on May 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Free to the public. Go check that out if that's something that you'd like to go out and support. All right, so back to my incredible radio tease as well. Going back to what Verderam talked a little bit about. Again, please, for real, guys, hey, for real, I know we have a lot of fun around here, but sometimes websites need you to, like, click their things and, like, have their ads show up on your page, which is how people get paid and whatnot, and Verderam has a behemoth here, so I'm going to tell you, I want to talk about some of his playoff matchups to make a point, but also if you go, oh, Josh told me the playoff matchups, now I don't have to click it, go click it, go click Verderam's stuff, okay?
But will you tell me the playoff matches?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
But do it, but open it right now. Open Verderam's article and click through every single week.
Matt Verderam, fan-sided.
You'll get there. So please support the work of the people that come on this show. They're all giving us their time just for us to absolutely waste it and talk to them about Ted Lasso and Knives Out. So go support what they're doing, please.
My computer just said this is too big and too awesome to load. That's weird.
I get that error message all the time.
Yeah.
What, Beards? What do you want to say?
Nothing.
It's whenever I buy new hats. It's I've got this sweet Quad City River Bandits hat that I love very much.
Very good hat.
It breathes well. It's got a good silhouette. The colors are great. The logo's great. But it's a 7 3/4. And if I pull my hat up a little bit, you can see kind of a crease in here because I got a big fat head.
Yeah.
So this hat is too big and too awesome to load, and thus I have a really good internet connection. And also pictures of the thing from Verderam's picks.
Pictures
that I thought,
of Patrick Mahomes.
My pictures of my Patrick Mahomes.
And Anthony Sherman, a part of them.
So the playoff matchups that Verderam ends up having here, this is like just divisional round AFC stuff. In fact, I'm gonna back up one more. I think I've clicked. Never mind. He ends up having the divisional round Chiefs Colts. If the Chiefs have a bye week in the first round and they get Carson Wentz's football team in the second round and they lose that game, I will tase Seth. That cannot happen. They cannot lose a playoff game to Carson Wentz at Arrowhead after a week off. Maybe 2 weeks off, depending on how everything's played out. That cannot happen. Outside of that in the AFC, on the other side, he's got Bills Browns. Now, look, I think the Browns are a pretty good football team that are going to have a pretty nice year. I think the Buffalo Bills are a really nice team. It's going to have a really good year. Neither of them have Patrick Mahomes. Neither of them are coached by Andy Reid. Both teams have good quarterbacks. Really good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Both teams have really good coaches. Like, excellent coaches. Both teams have good rosters, good supporting casts, good weapons. And neither of those teams are even as good as the Chiefs. On the NFC side, Packers, Seahawks, Rams, Bucks. That little set of four teams, I think, is better than the AFC's, but the Chiefs only end up having to play one of them. And if they get the Rams, Packers, or Seahawks in the Super Bowl, they're going to be a decent little favorite. And if they get the Buccaneers, they're going to have a starting offensive line this time.
In theory.
I think the Bucks probably scare me the most out of that group.
Yeah,
and I think that's just my we just saw it, you know?
Yeah, it's the only team that we've seen Patrick Mahomes play. Not where they lost, but where they got handled.
Yeah.
Right? Like we've seen Patrick Mahomes lose games. Like, we saw the Rams game a few years back where it just looked like the Rams could do whatever they want to the Chiefs' defense.
Right.
But the Chiefs also did whatever they wanted to the Rams' defense, right? Like, you know, like, we've seen the Chiefs lose games. We have not seen the Chiefs get just destroyed in a way like the Bucks. Now, there was reasons for that, right? Like,
sure.
If the offensive line is healthy, if they're all there, maybe they still lose that game, but maybe now they lose the game in a way we've seen the Chiefs lose, right?
Yeah.
Like it is a close competitive game. I don't think the Chiefs are losing 31-9 because, you know, Travis Kelce's wide open in the red zone, but because literally three defenders this is not an exaggeration, at the snap, beat offensive linemen, and Patrick Mahomes is immediately sprinting back to his right, like just in full sprint. It happened so many times. I understand why anybody would be, I don't think you should necessarily be. I think if they play each other, it will be a close game because Tampa Bay's got a good football team. But I understand why anybody would be afraid of Tampa Bay.
On the AFC side again, though, I cannot see a world where they lose a playoff game to the Colts or, at this point, the Browns. The Browns will have a chance really soon in the grand scheme of things to try to prove me a little bit wrong. I just can't see it. I could see the Bills giving them a game. We just went through this, though. I don't see the Chiefs losing to the Bills in the AFC Championship game with a roster that should be better. Again, lots can happen over the course of a season.
For sure.
But I would think they would probably have better luck than they did last year. The counterargument to that, by the way, would be that Mahomes was hurt for that game, so that's worth keeping in mind.
Yeah.
But let's say that there is a worse injury to Mahomes, or that something happens to Hill or Kelce, or maybe Tyrann Mathieu, or as the cornerbacks currently stand, any two of those corners. There are definitely ways where things could get ugly, but it seems unlikely that it would look as bad even as it did towards the end last year, especially after Eric Fisher went out. And I just think the Chiefs are better than all of those teams, like by a pretty decent little margin.
Can I throw a little, like, it's not the perfect comparison, but two things.
No,
so
the you first... asked, I said no.
Oh, okay.
All right, go ahead.
So the first thing is, obviously, like, when we talk about the team, it is under the notion, I think anybody should just assume this, for people like, oh, you think the Chiefs are going to be good? Well, what happens to Patrick Mahomes? Well, we are talking about the Chiefs are as healthy as any NFL team, and that includes your starting quarterback being healthy. That should go unsaid.
If Matt Stafford, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Russell Wilson get hurt, they will not be in this round of the playoffs either.
Yeah, so, like, you know what I mean? So, like, that should go unsaid, but sometimes it probably has to go said because people are like, well, you don't know how if guys are going to be. Well, of course we don't. We assume they will be healthy until they're hurt.
Average amount of healthy.
The Chiefs will have some injuries. That's the NFL. You assume your quarterback's going to be healthy. You assume your best players are going to be healthy.
Right.
You don't assume that your entire offensive line is going to be hurt.
Right.
I think, though, I think this is essentially a Kansas City Buffalo thing. It's not a perfect comparison because Buffalo is built differently than this team I'm about to compare them to. I think the talent gap between Kansas City and Buffalo isn't necessarily that big, just like I don't think the Patriots and the Colts was necessarily that big.
Mm.
But I also think the Chiefs are going to kind of always take care of Buffalo, just like Tom Brady kind of always handled Peyton Manning. And again, I don't want to compare Josh Allen to Peyton Manning because, like, Peyton Manning is one of the top three quarterbacks in NFL history.
And you don't want to compare Tom Brady to Patrick Mahomes because Patrick Mahomes is a top three quarterback in NFL history.
Exactly.
Right.
But, like, I can see that being kind of how the next decade goes. Where Buffalo, I think, is an insanely talented team. I don't think in terms of pure talent the gap is that big. But I just think the Chiefs are going to kind of always handle them. They'll lose some games. And they're going to lose some playoff
games. The Colts won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Patrick Mahomes is better than Josh Allen. Andy Reid is better than Sean McDermott. It's not necessarily the biggest gap in the world, but it's enough. Enough of a gap to, I think, that you're going to see the Chiefs just win that more times than they lose by a significant amount.
Right. You would be foolish to say that the Chiefs will never lose a game to the Bills, Ravens, or just the Bills
and
Ravens.
Maybe the Chargers in the next year or two. We'll see how they're trending in an intriguing direction.
It would be foolish to say
but they're
that
also
the Chiefs,
Chargers.
It would be foolish to say that the Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl for three consecutive years. They will host the AFC Championship game for the next 3 years as well. That would be silly to predict.
For sure.
But it would also be kind of silly to predict in any individual year that they're going to lose it then.
It's like the last 20 years, essentially.
With
the Patriots. Yeah, who I picked every year. You knew they were going to not... They lost this, or they did not win Super Bowls more than they won Super Bowls, right? Like 13 years they didn't, 7 years they did. But to sit here and not think that they were not the clear favorite, to not pick them to necessarily win the Super Bowl. Maybe there were some years where, like, you know what, I think this team actually maybe is a little poised to be better, whatever. But that's going to be the Chiefs for the next 10 to 15 years, barring Patrick Mahomes getting hurt.
Yeah.
Or, like, if a situation...
Your Matt Castle year.
Yeah, 5 to 7 years from now, if all of a sudden Brett Veach just is... We're seeing the same mistakes here that we see in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Then maybe that conversation happens. But I don't think that's going to happen.
God, I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, I think there's enough evidence to suggest that there will always be an effort to make sure that doesn't happen. Now it comes down to execution, right?
Like, but also, Peyton Manning never got pissed with the Colts. It just sometimes didn't
it
all
just
get
didn't
stitched
always work
together
out.
Quite
yeah.
right. I hate that thought so much. I want to take a break.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Beards, hashtag give Josh the meats.
Oh, boy.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Rudy, I was wrong.
I thought he was second.
You were talking about... So did that catcher go first?
Yeah, Adley Rutschman, yes. Adley Rutschman went first
Who
overall.
Who went third in that draft?
Was that the 2018?
19, I think it said. MLB. All right, I got the wiki up here. Rutschman with Andrew Vaughn with three.
Andrew... Oh, wait, Andrew Vaughn's a White Sox. That's right. So it's not Madrigal. Madrigal was the fourth overall, but he was fourth overall the year in 2018.
Right.
I forgot they had
J.J. Bleday was the fourth pick that year.
Andrew Vaughn was a first baseman out of... Oh, it's a Southwest.
I got the answer.
It's a Southwest state.
Yep, go ahead.
Arizona?
Real close.
Arizona State?
Keep digging.
No.
Try different states, Southwestern states.
California.
It was California. I wouldn't call that a Southwestern state, but I was actually trying to get you to.
I was thinking Pac-12. You know.
Also, not Cal Berkeley, just Cal.
I think Cal is Cal Berkeley.
University of California.
Yeah, isn't the University of California not Cal Berkeley?
That's UCB, isn't it?
I think the University of
California.
University of California is in Berkeley. Yeah. Because that's the thing. They're all University of California, Santa Clara, University of California, Berkeley. But Cal is Berkeley. Like, they're the only one that is referred to as the University of California. But there's, like, eight. They're all connected to each other. Like, they're all part of the same, like, I guess, like, I guess you could say organization, however you would say it. But there's, like, seven or eight of them. UC Santa Barbara, UC Bakersfield, UC Berkeley, which is Cal. It's weird.
I just think what I'm realizing right now is that there are.
I know more about
I thought
this
there
than
were,
I feel like I should, but.
If you would have told me that UCB, UC Berkeley, and Cal were three different schools, I would have agreed with you until 45 seconds ago. That's what just happened to me in real time.
I think I learned this from Bill Walton. Back in my high school days, when I would stay up late watching Pac-12 basketball, basically for Bill Walton, League of Champions.
What a weird... I was going to read you a lead here because Rudy had brought up Patrick Mahomes' no-hitter from college. And thank you. The lead from TylerPaper.com is so good. As Patrick Mahomes strode to the mound to begin his warm-up tosses for the seventh inning, Cakes' "He's Going the Distance" blared on the loudspeaker from the press box at Wildcat Field. That is exactly what Mahomes did, overcoming two walks to get out of the inning with two strikeouts to complete a no-hitter and a 2-1 win for White House over Mount Pleasant on Tuesday afternoon. Coach came up to me and said, "You look tired. I don't know if I'm going to let you go," Mahomes said, and I just said, "I got it. I can finish it off." The last strikeout was Mahomes' 16th to go along with four walks.
Bleep yeah.
We talk about baseball plenty on this show. It's just back whenever Patrick Mahomes played it.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.